Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, friends, remember Rocket can. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We're trying to run down Jimmy. My good buddy Jimmy Hanlon, Bally Sports, which I kept messing it up. I kept saying Fox Sports. That's right. They had the change over there. He is Bally Sports, as well as the Yes Network TV host. He has 18 holes. He has Swing Clinic. He has links to the game. He's got Pin Shot, the whole thing. He's got four different shows there. It's amazing. We'll talk to Jimmy. Hopefully, we'll be able to talk to Jimmy here. It seems I've upset the state of Alabama. I have upset the state of Alabama. Pauly Dubs gets in and says, Ken, hope you don't have any special trees in your garden. Okay, well, that's just below board there. I didn't mean to I was talking about Sam Darnold. I wanted to use it as a Sam Darnold example, folks. I don't even want to soften the blow. Just you tell me. I don't want to rip Mac Jones. I don't want to do it. I don't know how this kid's going to turn out. Damn it, I wanted to talk about Sam Darnold, and it's nothing but people in Alabama who are mad at me for what I said over Mac Jones. Tell me what he does that's so great. I want to know. And for that reason, truthfully, that's got to be part of the reason he's moved up so much. Like Trevor Lawrence, we have spoken no matter what Trevor Lawrence could do. Trevor Lawrence could go to your house right now and smack your grandmother in the mouth, and you'd still say, okay, Trevor Lawrence is still the number one pick. I mean, come on. There's nothing that Trevor Lawrence can do that would take him away from the number one pick. It just seems that way. Zach Wilson does a lot of good things. Mac Jones does a lot of good things, man. They all do a lot of good things. But when I look at all these top five guys, I didn't want to do this, and so now we're going to do it. I see what Justin Fields does. He can elevate his team. Same thing with Trevor Lawrence. Same thing with Zach Wilson. Same thing with Trey Lance. I'm not saying I could go out there and run the Alabama offense. I'm not saying you could go out there and run the Alabama offense. But I am saying a lot of people could go out there and run the Alabama offense. I got Devontae Smith and Najee Harris. I got a great offensive line. I got maybe the greatest team and one of the greatest teams in football history. It's unexceptional. He does a lot of good things that I think a lot of normal quarterbacks can do. There has to be something on the whiteboard that I'm not privy to. That's fine. If you call in and you say he's smart, that's okay. I got people calling it. Well, Ken, excuse me, I got one guy calling in. Ken, he's a winner. So is everybody else. They're all winners. Every quarterback that I could put out on this list is a winner. Every quarterback that's in college is a winner. That's what you're supposed to be. There's like few guys, like, okay, if you're a quarterback who went to Vanderbilt, you're not a winner. The other ones is a winner. Well, he's a winner. Ken, did you know so-and-so won 3 state championships? Oh, and we're talking about him being a first-round pick? Oh, well, that's a surprise. Ken, did you know so-and-so won a whole bunch of games in the SEC? Yeah, they're supposed to. That's why they're number one picks. That's why they're top 10 picks. They're supposed to be better than anybody else out there. They're supposed to elevate their team. But I see the talent that's around them, and I see pitch and catch, and I think that that's part of the reason. That a guy like Kyle Shanahan, a coach, coaches usually are people who want to mitigate negativity. They want to put the odds in their favor, and that means they're going to bet on themselves. And Mac Jones will go out there, and he will do exactly as Kyle Shanahan says. Mac Jones will go out there and do exactly as one of these other coaches will say. Justin Fields, there's a question. Zach Wilson, there's still a question. Trey Lance, there's still a question. These other QBs, there's still a question. Mac Jones, he'll do exactly what he played for Saban, exactly what you want. And I don't want to turn into a thing of ripping Mac Jones, but here's Alabama. All these calls are Alabama. I haven't had Alabama mad at me. I haven't had Alabama mad at me, this mad at me in like 3 months. So let's go to Alabama. We'll try to run down Jimmy at some point. Dustin in Alabama, you're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Hello. Let me get to Dustin. Hello. Do we got Dustin in Alabama? We've lost Dustin in Alabama. Do I even have him ready? Mike in Alabama. Hello. We got Jimmy now. So I'm just going to drop. Okay, fine. If you're there, hold on. Let's get to my buddy Jimmy. Jimmy, hello.
What's up, Kenny?
Hi. Where the hell have you been?
Listen, I was being a good radio guy earlier in the day and had my ringer off because I was on the air and then forgot to turn it back on.
My fault.
And for me to ever miss an appointment with you is absolutely just unheard of and will never happen again.
It's okay.
It is Masters week, though. I'm a little flustered right now because of the Masters.
That's true, but I went to go to two calls in a row to yell at me from the state of Alabama. Do you have anything nasty to say in my general direction, maybe to talk for the people who are from Alabama?
No, I've got nothing, man. My man Fred Kitchens is from Alabama, so Alabama's good to me. I like
Alabama. That's right. Yeah. Deborah Michaels is from Alabama. Oh, I don't want to do this. My goodness gracious. All right. So, Jimmy Hanlon, Bally Sports, I was saying it wrong. I kept saying Fox Sports. I forget the changeover. Sorry. Bally Sports,
change, yep.
Yes Network. He hosts like 15 different shows on there. He's basically the Steve Harvey of golf. There he hosts every show. You're watching the Masters. We've seen 2 days. They've been phenomenal from what I'm told. I haven't got to see it because I've been busier in hell, and I'll tell you about that later on. But what's the changeover? I see the course got easier from Thursday to Friday. Why?
You know, that's a great question, and I don't understand it because, yes, Kenny, even Friday morning looked difficult. The greens were super firm; they looked like U.S. Open greens. You know, they had a lot of brown to them, which you don't see a lot of brown at Augusta typically. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was going to play more difficult on Friday, but it really didn't. It came down the stretch; those guys played good on the back nine. I'm guessing pins were a little easier on the back nine. On Friday, and that's where people seem to make their birdies. Even Justin Rose on the front nine yesterday kind of looked like it was going in the wrong direction, but he was able to recover on the back nine and get it back to even par for the day and 7-under for the tournament. So, you know, that would be my guess is just, that, you know, they felt like they could be aggressive with the pins on the back nine, and that looks like that's what happened.
For Justin Rose, it started off so strong yesterday, you know, a bit of an up and down, cooled it off in the back nine there. We've talked about him before up near the top, and things have kind of floundered for him in days three and four. What keeps Justin Rose away from falling apart this time?
Well, you know what, Kenny? I think it's just all attitude and you know, confidence. You know, he has the golf game. He's a major champion winner. So he's been, you know, he's a good player. I mean, he has the ability to win a major championship. So, there's no reason he won't unless it's all in his head. If he starts to lose his confidence, like he did partially yesterday but was able to recover, that might have been actually really good for him, Kenny, yesterday, was to let it slide a little bit, get the feeling of maybe a little panic, and then be able to turn it around. That might be, you know, a good experience for him going into Saturday and Sunday with the lead. It might help a lot, actually.
Educate me about Will Zalatoris. Excuse me there. I'm trying to get it right there. Educate me about Will Zalatoris that I don't know, because I have never heard of this guy before this weekend. I'll be honest with
you.
Go ahead.
Because you wouldn't. He's a rookie, right? He just came off of the Corn Ferry Tour. He's a young kid, went to Wake Forest. This is the kid I said on the earlier today, Kenny. I said, man, this is a kid. If I'm a company, I'm plastering my logo all over him. I mean, he's just funny. He's witty. He's good looking. He kind of seems to be able to handle the moment. You know, I'm not telling you he's going to be a first-time winner at the Masters. The last time that somebody won in their first Masters was Fuzzy Zeller in, like, 79. So it doesn't happen very often, right? But he's going to be a name that, you know, just jot it down, because we're going to talk about him a lot on the air, because he's got all the tools and he has the charisma. He's a good player.
What happens first? Do I run my first marathon, or does Gary McCord be welcomed back to the Masters?
That's a good. I think you run your first marathon is actually what's going to happen.
They really will never let him back onto the grounds at Augusta National?
Yeah, I don't see it happening, man. I just don't see it happening. You know, they have their rules and they have their ways, and you know, Gary McCord probably doesn't want to go back, to be honest with you. I mean, he probably feels slighted there too. And my guess is they could invite him back, and you know, 50% of me would say that he may not go back anyway.
What if they go, you got to get rid of the handlebar mustache and we'll let you back in? He'd say no, right?
Not happening. No way. Gary spends his time out in Arizona. He's having fun playing some golf, and he'll be all right. He'll be good.
The great Jimmy Hanlon joining us on the show, talking about the 2021 Masters with us. So, Bryson DeChambeau, you know, big story coming in. We all saw him, speed driving earlier this week, just the torque on the back. Is he a guy where I go, you better get your winning in while you can now, because there's no way you can physically keep this up?
Well, we had that conversation with Tiger 20 years ago, right? People watched him thrash at the golf ball, and we're like, man, oh, man, you know, can this guy's body hold up to this? Well, we got the answer to that question, right? So I think it's a big concern. You know, I absolutely do. Now, again, don't forget that, you know, the ability to maintain your body is a little different than it was even 20 years ago. And what
True.
These guys are capable of doing, their workouts and everything that they do is, you know, it's pretty awesome, right? So maybe a little better chance than back in those days. But I would tell you that, you know, you look at the way that he swings the golf club. You look at the way that he just thrashes at it with his body. I would probably tell you that it has to be a concern for Bryson's, you know, long-term future of his golf game.
Jimmy Hanlon with us on the show, Bally Sports, Yes Network, all over the place. Follow him on Twitter, at Jimmy Hanlon. If that's the case, is there a change in the equipment then? Because it's not just Bryson DeChambeau. There's other big hitters out there. And naturally, you just said it, they're better athletes, so they should naturally be bigger hitters. Jack Nicklaus talked about this last year during his tournament, because he couldn't go out on the course, so he was just going off on things. Do we change the equipment? Do we put a cap on how great drivers can be, how useful balls can be, because of guys are getting better, guys are getting bigger, guys are getting stronger?
You know, and there'll be a lot of people who disagree with me here, Kenny, but I don't think so, right? I mean, you watch my shows, you did my show, Links to the Game. You know, average golfer is not hitting the golf ball too far right now, right? There's 300 people in the world that's a tour player where the ball goes maybe farther than we want it to go from a standpoint of competition. Other side to that is that when you go to a PGA Tour event, which thank God people are able to do, starting to do a little bit again, what do you want to see, right? I don't really want to go see him practice putt on the putting green. I want to see him hit bombs, right? I want to see him crush the golf ball. That's the fun thing about golf. So I think if you start taking that away, yeah, it just makes the game not as fun. Are you going to, you know, you talked about it in baseball for a long, long time, the ball and how hot the ball is. And, you know, what do guys, people like to see in baseball? They like to see home runs, right? They want to see guys mash the ball because they're stronger than us, they're more physical than us, and they have the ability to, you know, do things that average guy can't do. So, you know, I prefer just to leave it alone. I honestly think it's fine. Listen, Bryson DeChambeau hits it 380 yards. He's one under at Augusta. So they can make a golf course that distance, you know, doesn't always equate to winning golf tournaments. So I'm a fan of leaving it where it's at. I really think that the game, distance is a big part of the game, and I enjoy watching it.
Jimmy Hanlon joining us on the show. For this Masters compared to where it was at last year, you know, people, the ratings are down. Jimmy, I thought that it would backfire because too many sports can be a bad thing. If I'm a football fan, like I'm a football fan first, right? I like the NFL, I like college football. Those are number one, number two on my hierarchy. I like golf. You know I like golf. I'm going to watch the Masters in the spring because it's the first sign of spring. Like we get into certain routines. Do you think that was the reason maybe the ratings were down last year and that maybe I shouldn't pay attention to what happened in November?
Oh, I think without a doubt. Because golf's popularity, and you and I have talked about this, is off the charts right now, right? Across the board. It doesn't matter whether you're talking equipment sales, whether you're talking about people playing golf, rounds of golf. Golf's popularity is through the roof right now. I would say that, you know, the lore of Augusta, you know, the flowers and everything, and the tradition of Augusta is spring. You're right. I mean, that's what it was. Now, they jammed that golf tournament in November because of, obviously, extenuating circumstances and COVID. But that's something that, I absolutely think that ratings from last year and maybe people not being quite as into it had everything to do with being in the fall. And this year, you know, it just feels like it's back again. You know, Augusta's back. We have the PGA Championship sneaking up on us next. And it's golf's almost back. You know, 50% crowds are close. And so it's we're getting back to the normal, and that's a good thing for the game of golf.
I'm glad you said that because I've started to roll my eyes at the what's golf going to do without Tiger stuff. And I'm like, hey, and I know I've talked to you about this before in previous interviews, Jimmy. I know it's not going to go back to previous levels. I know it's not going to do that. That's okay. Because right now, you know, I drove past golf courses over this last week. I had other things to do. Like, you couldn't find a parking spot. So I know that the game is healthy, and I think that's okay. And I think that there will be probably another wave of people who are really into it who will then go watch it on TV, and the ratings will be able to bounce back to some level. But it's not going to be like Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods is once in a lifetime.
Yeah, that you're exactly right. I mean, we're never going to see a guy that affected the game like he did. So you just got to count on a group of people, a bunch of players that people are going to like. You know, Jordan Spieth's going to be one of those guys, right? He's coming back. It'll make him more likable that he lost his golf game almost completely, and now he's coming back and playing at a level that, you know, he played at when he was younger. Jordan Spieth had the type of success before the age of 25 that Tiger Woods had, right? I mean, that's the winning that he was doing, and then all of a sudden the collapse at Augusta, and you know he was never able to find it again for a good 18 months to 2 years. Now he's back. So we need those stories in golf. That's the great thing about golf is the stories and the players. You know, like you just said, the young kid from Wake Forest in second place right now. That's a great story. People get excited about that. You know, so they're out there. You know, and there's a lot of really good players getting. I mean, there's guys that are fun to watch. Dustin Johnson's in your, again, Bryson DeChambeau. Brooks Koepka played on a knee that was surgically repaired that should have taken 6 months before he even just attempted to play golf, and he played in a month. You know, so these guys are athletes, like you said, and it's the game is healthy and the tour is healthy, and it's going in an upward trend right now for sure.
Follow him on Twitter. One of the good guys in golf. One of the good guys in general. Jimmy Hanlon. Jimmy, can't thank you enough for the time, buddy. All the best.
Thanks for having me, Kenny.
The great Jimmy Hanlon. Bally Sports, Yes Network, as well as, gosh, he's got Swing Clinic. He's got 18 holes. He's got Pin Shot. What else? Oh, yeah, Links to the Game. He's got four shows that I can think of right off the top of my head. I'm probably missing one. Jimmy's one of the best. One of the best guys out there. One of the best PGA pros out there. Again, follow him on Twitter, at Jimmy Hanlon. His pants are wonderful. His personality is wonderful. You'd absolutely love him if you met him. I have met him many times. I love him very, very much. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. 2 hours from now, we got Jason Cole joining us on the show. We'll talk NFL with him. I have the entire state of Alabama in an uproar with me. I'll get to your calls in Alabama when we come back. Also, the top five subject. And no, golf doesn't need Tiger Woods. It just helps. It's Ken Carmen, live on CBS Sports Radio.
Listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm having a crisis. I know I want it. Like, this is Pirno's time to shine. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty. Top five, and then I guess I insulted everybody in the state of Alabama. And I got people calling in. They're mad. Ken ripped Mac Jones. I didn't rip Mac Jones. You just tell me what he does. That's incredible. Like, he does a lot of good things right within the offense is what I should say. Within the offense of Nick Saban, within the offense of Alabama, he does a lot of things right throwing to Heisman Trophy candidates. There's a lot of great things right there with Alabama. Great. So everybody in Alabama is upset with me now. And so I don't know what to do. Do I do top five? Do we do a truncated top five? Do we do a top three? I don't want to upset Pierno. I'm walking on eggshells right now. Pierno, are you mad at me?
Well, it's a top five. And there's only one person on here right now that's from Alabama that was upset with your take.
I tried to take them all the last segment, then I had to hang up on them all because we had Jimmy. What do you want in the top five?
Well, it's WrestleMania weekend, so we were going to do our top five favorite WrestleMania matches.
We've done that before.
No, we have not.
We haven't?
I took over this in either July or August, so why would we do a top five WrestleMania matches?
Okay, fine.
We've done SummerSlam matches. We've done top five Survivor Series matches.
Fine, you're right.
There'd be no reason to do a WrestleMania top five matches. Until now, because it's WrestleMania time.
There would be no reason. All right, let me get to these calls here. We'll do top five coming up at 11:40, okay? 11:40 a.m. Eastern. Top five WrestleMania matches. Good. We can get two birds stoned at once. I can let Mike from Alabama get upset with me, and then we can go on. Mike in Alabama, you're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, Ken? Doing all right?
I'm doing okay. Come on. Go after me here.
I'm not mad at you. We disagree. I'm not mad. Cool. Before I get into all that, can I tell you my top WrestleMania match?
Please.
It would be the double turn with Stone Cold versus Bret Hart. I think that was the best one I've ever seen. And, okay.
When it made, now hold on, was that WrestleMania the one where basically Stone Cold went in as the heel and passed out? Okay, then that has to be in the top five, Mike. You're right about that. Okay, let's go. Let's hear it. Let's hear it. Go ahead.
Okay, the reason I would take Mac Jones as the second quarter, Trevor Lawrence is the top quarterback, I agree with you. The reason I would take Mac Jones over Justin Fields or Zach Wilson, I'll start with Mac Jones. You can say he had all the talent in the world around him. He did. So did Justin Fields. So did Trevor Lawrence. So if we just admit that they all have top-level talent around them, we have to look at, okay, the second half of the Ohio State game, for instance. Mac Jones did not have his top two receivers. One was hobbling on one leg, and Devonta Smith was out of the game. Mac Smith adjusted and took over the game, put it on his shoulders, and led it that way without all the talent against people you had never heard of.
Oh, see, I disagree with that. What were they going to do at halftime? Halftime, that game was already over, Mike. He didn't have to do anything in the second half. That game was over.
The game wasn't over, and he threw for about 200 yards in the second half.
That game wasn't over? That game wasn't over? Mike, that game was over.
Okay.
You know it and I know.
And my
I did
heart
too.
Was pounding until about the end of the third quarter. But then go to
Mike.
QBR rating under pressure. He has the top QBR rating in the country under pressure and against the blitz. Against the blitz and under pressure, the top QBR rating in the country. That's higher than the other guys who still had talent around them.
Okay, now we're getting to something here.
The other thing is, if you look at Justin Fields, and against Northwestern, he completed 44% of his passes. Against Alabama, he completed 51% of his passes for under 200 yards, again, with all the talent in the world around him. So, Mac Jones doesn't have a game like that. Jones' lowest game was something like 66%.
I have my answer already set up for that, and you ain't going to like it because it's going to sound like excuse-making. You know why?
Because
it's a good excuse for Justin Fields.
Go ahead, Mike.
It's a good excuse for Justin Fields. Mike, how many games did Mac Jones have during the regular season?
10.
Yeah, 10. How many did Justin Fields have?
6.
I need to know, how many times was the Alabama program stopped because of COVID?
Once.
Okay, Ohio State had 3 times. And they had games stopped during the week of the game. They had games canceled on them because of other teams' COVID situations. Once with, I believe, Maryland, the other one with Michigan. All right?
Sure.
I know, and I'll give Pat Fitzgerald credit. They had a good defense coming into the season. That's why they were upset that they might not be able to play this year. They'd set up this season with a good defense, and that's how Pat Fitzgerald wins any football games that he does over there at Northwestern. So I'm not saying he had a good game. I'm not saying he had a good game. But I when I'm looking at a guy who's able to get into a rhythm over 10 games or a 12-game season usually, and a guy who's able to try to get under rhythm with six games and three stops and two stops during the season because of COVID, I can't get into a rhythm. And they do not have – at Ohio State, they got great athletes. You're right. And that's true. And that's true. But one team is much better than the other one overall. We knew this. One guy was able to elevate with Alabama and Ohio State. You didn't see a clear difference?
Look at the recruiting rankings the past 5 years. They're both top five, all of them.
But it doesn't matter about the recruiting rankings, how you develop these guys. And you know damn well Alabama's at a higher level than Ohio State. No, we know that.
That's another reason I would take Mac Jones. He had better coaching. His accuracy downfield, like any just viable metric that you look at, Mac Jones tops out over Justin Fields. Zach Wilson, you can say something different. My issue with Zach Wilson would be,
what's that?
I don't know, because he only played against two ranked teams, and they were Coastal Carolina and Boise State. I don't know I don't know what he would do against competition. There's an argument to be made for him, but Mac Jones, outside of just the way, even when Mac Jones was on the scout team and he was lighting up the first team Alabama defense, and Nick Saban got mad at him and told him quit doing that, he had the moxie to look Nick Saban in the eye and say, "Tell your guys to stop me," and they couldn't stop him.
Okay, Mike.
There's a field general there. It's not mad. It's just we disagree. But this I'm picking, this is what I'm going to look at all these things and say, right. Okay, well, maybe you can say this about Justin Fields, maybe this excuse about Justin Fields, whatever. There just isn't any negative on Mac Jones except for that he's not a highlight reel. But I don't a highlight reel. I want a guy that can come in, that can distribute the ball, that can do that is accurate. And he is extremely – and if
now,
you look at Justin Fields
hold
in big
on. Hold,
game,
Mike,
turn it over.
No, that's not necessarily true, and thank you very much for the call. We're forgetting Clemson, okay? And you want to bring up Indiana, you can bring up Indiana and Michael Penix all you want. But again, we say it's a bad game. Yeah, he turned the ball over three times. He had three interceptions in that football game. He also had 378 total yards and three total touchdowns in that football game, Justin Fields did. All right? I look at, again, the time that he didn't have, and you could say he had 2 weeks to get ready for that game. The people that Alabama missed, the people that Ohio State missed, defensively, you had Pete Werner trying to run around and Tough Borland trying to run around and catch Devontae Smith, Mike. Trying to catch a Heisman Trophy winner. You had four nine. What did Tough Borland run for the combine? You had 4.9, 4.5, five flat 40 guys trying to catch a Heisman Trophy winner defensively? I mean, if we're talking overall teams, folks, Ohio State did a hell of a job against Clemson. But against Alabama, nobody was touching Alabama this year. Pro teams were the only teams touching Alabama this year because there were a team of pros they would have been playing against already pros. Nobody was touching Alabama. So that, to me, goes against, to some degree, not the whole thing, does go against the tremendous explosion of Mac Jones. It's not a rip of Mac Jones. It's not that Mac Jones sucks. Mac Jones doesn't suck. Mac Jones is a good quarterback. But for all these reasons, I feel that it is inflated with Mac Jones. He has good coaching. He does what the coach tells him. Great, he has good coaching. If a guy doesn't have as good of a coach or elevates that coach, I would feel even more. We're just starting to get into the real Ryan Day recruiting classes. Because now it starts in 2 years, so these guys have to play. I had one guy who had Chris Olave, and that was basically it. The other guy, you look at Alabama, how many guys are going to go in the first round in Alabama this year? How many first-round guys does Alabama have? It's night and day. It's night and day with everybody. It's night and day with everybody. What I see out of Justin Fields, remarkable. Trevor Lawrence could be the same thing. With Mac Jones, I don't want to rip Mac Jones up and down. If we get the total QBR under pressure, fine. You got me there on that one. But if we're doing 51% against Alabama, which has one of the best defenses ever, and 48% against Northwestern, which has one of the better defenses in the Big Ten, but it's certainly not Alabama, okay, you can push that to my level as well. But when you have a week when you don't even know if you're going to play from week to week with a schedule, I put that into the bin for Justin Fields. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. But that was a great call. Coming up next, try to get to more of you guys and the top five WrestleMania matches of all time. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio. Right now, it's the latest sports update with Marco Belletti.
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS. 20 minutes away. Vic Joseph, WWE commentator, NXT, NXT TakeOver. We'll talk with him about WrestleMania tonight and tomorrow over on Peacock. Top five coming up here momentarily. I'm getting texts. I got Hickey getting in about the last call. We've taken a couple of mics from Alabama. One did not make any sense. The other one was a good call. Mike in Alabama, I disagree with him. Mike in Alabama was a good call. But when you're... Mike, I'm sorry, man. You didn't say you were an Alabama fan. You had to be an Alabama fan. If your heart was pounding at halftime of that game, you are a Alabama fan who just is afraid that, I don't know, the world was going to cave in because there's no chance in hell you were going to lose that game after the first quarter. Kerry Cohn, I went back and I watched it because I had to go back and watch it because I'm like, he had Tough Borland trying to chase around Devontae Smith. Yep, he had Tough Borland. Kerry Combs over at Ohio State had Tough Borland covering Devontae Smith. Like, I can barely get the word out because if I tell you that in 10 years, you'll say, no, that's not true. No, it's true. I want to send this to you, Pierno, just so you can watch Tough Borland get on his horse. It is sad.
Please, send it.
It's like me trying to chase my kids. It's embarrassing. It's really embarrassing. Look at him here. Get on your horse. Go. Go. No, he ain't catching. Devontae Smith is jogging. This is the same route Tyreek Hill runs with the Kansas City Chiefs, by the way. And he had Ohio State with Tough Borland covering him. I'm not going to say nasty things about Ohio State. But I hope that I hope that won the best you got. Devontae Smith is jogging. 855-212-4CBS. Yeah, sorry, man. You're not gonna get me on the national championship game. You're not gonna get me on Alabama and all their athletes. Alabama is at a totally different level. Tough Borland is still running the 40. Are we ready to do top five?
I'm ready. Are you ready? That's the question.
I think I am, man. I was a bit worked into a shoot, though. Like, I'll go first. I will go first, but I was a bit worked into a shoot. Are you ready for top five? If you're ready, I'm ready.
I'm already, man. WrestleMania 37 begins tonight, part one. I'm all ready to go.
Okay. Let's get going here.
All right, so I'm going to go first here.
Oh, you want me to go first? I thought we were, you know, I'm so
you
used
go
to
first. Go first. Go
I'm
first.
I'm so used to playing the Gold Dust music. I'm thrown off here. All right. My top 5. See, I want to go now. I'm having problems getting it all figured out but which one's which. Cuz the Bret Hart, Stone Cold Steve Austin one. You go first. You go first. Because I got him here. I don't know where I rank him, though. Sorry, go ahead.
No, all right. So I'll start off. I'm going back to WrestleMania 10 at the Garden. Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon, the ladder match. Unique match for the time. Wasn't the first ladder match ever, but most fans had not seen it back in 94. And I think what makes it special is the fact that it still holds up after all these years. Even after the gimmick has been used and used and used, but you know, we've seen so many of these matches now, and of course we have a pay-per-view centered around it with Money in the Bank, and then there's TLC. But with all that, you can still make a case that this is still the best of them all. You know, best of all, the way the match was constructed, the way they utilized the ladder just made sense. You know, there were no other weapons used. They didn't take any crazy bumps using the ladder. you know, the bump that ended the match was Michaels, of course, falling off the ladder and getting tangled in the ropes. It was just excellent storytelling. It was fresh for the audience. So Michaels and Razor Ramon, the ladder match at WrestleMania 10, my fifth favorite. Number four favorite for me, Savage versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania 3. Two of the greatest in-ring performers of all time.
That's two, number four?
Yeah.
Wow.
Two great athletes putting their skills on full display. And what I love about it is this match was like 14 minutes and change. No 40-minute matches here. And the thing about that is, given that it was under 15 minutes, they utilized every second of that match. They had like 21 or 22 near falls. Again, great storytelling here. Everything that they did meant something and had a purpose to it. It also still holds up very well, in particular because it was different than most of the stuff that was going on in the 80s with the athleticism that we saw from each of them. It wouldn't look out of place like on a modern-day wrestling show. There was also a great build-up to the match. You know, Savage injured Ricky's throat, and he was out. Ricky the Dragon was out for a few months, so Ricky comes back looking for revenge, and then you had George the Animal Steel had, like, feelings for Miss Elizabeth. He came out with Steamboat. So Andre and Hogan, of course, they were the main event, but these two obviously stole the show and still everybody talking about it. And then, you know, they went as far as to script this entire match, and instead of looking highly choreographed, it looked completely natural. So obviously credit to those two legends. So that comes in as my number four favorite. Number three, WrestleMania 21, Kurt Angle versus Shawn Michaels. First time that these two met in the squared circle. It was a dream match that that absolutely lived up to the hype. The build-up to the match was very good. They had great chemistry with each other. You would think that they had been working together for years, but just instantaneous chemistry in the ring. The match had everything. You know, Michaels trying to out-wrestle the Olympic gold medalist was a lot of fun early on, but we got technical wrestling. There were some big spots thrown in there. They traded finishers. I feel like a match maybe that doesn't get talked about enough, but I love this match. Kurt Angle versus Shawn Michaels at Mania 21. My second favorite, Hulk Hogan versus The Rock at Mania 18. Again, for some reason, this wasn't the main event. Well, I know why, because Triple H had to be involved. But they were the ones on the because they were on the WrestleMania 18 poster. The Rock and Hogan. But yeah, actually, it says Triple H and Jericho wound up, of course, main eventing WrestleMania 18 that year. But two of the all-time greats, Hogan, The Rock, battling it out. Icon versus Icon. The crowd was raucous at the Sky Dome in Toronto. Probably the loudest Mania match of all time. It's amazing because, again, Hogan went into that match as the heel. He almost killed The Rock. He did a hit and run in the parking lot. But the crowd made it clear right from the get-go who the fan favorite was. So, they had a switch on the fly. Hogan becoming the babyface, The Rock becoming the heel. And, you know, and again, it wasn't like there was any spectacular in-ring work here because, you know, Hogan is 50 at this point and he's past his prime. But the story is what got you. Hogan playing to the crowd. You know, it felt like Batman versus Superman. You had these two giant superheroes coming to life, and you just got lost in the experience as a viewer. So Hogan versus The Rock, number two for me. And some caller already mentioned it. He brought it up. Austin versus Hart at Mania 13, the I Quit match. What I love about this match is obviously it's a great match, but first off, it helped launch an entire era in the Attitude Era. It launched a career for Austin and also launched a great heel run for Bret Hart. It had great storytelling with the double turn. Hart goes into the match as the babyface. Austin goes in as the heel. But in the end, many are booing Hart and then applauding Stone Cold for the fight that he showed, the resilience that he had. And he just had a great mixture of technical wrestling with the brawling, the punching, and the kicking. It was a physical match. You really felt like, and we've discussed this rivalry in the past, but you just really felt like these two absolutely hated each other. And it all began with the entrances. I mean, the way they walked to the ring, the facial expressions, you just felt like these guys meant business. And again, it just kicked off a great year in 97 for Bret, when Bret delivered some of his best work on the mic and then the matches. One of my favorite matches that year, 97, Canadian Stampede, the Hart Foundation, and then, of course, against Austin, Shamrock, Goldust, the Legion of Doom. And then it went on. Bret went on to win at SummerSlam, his fifth title. And then, of course, the Montreal Screwjob at the end of the year at Survivor Series. So it just set up a whole, it set off a whole chain of events, that match.
You're
so
right.
That's why I love it, too. So that's number, my favorite, Stone Cold vs. Bret, Mania 13.
All right. I think I got him in order. Here we go. I left Rock Hogan off. Rock Hogan was almost on there. You're going to hate my number five, okay?
What
number
is it?
Number five. Number five is on there for entirely different reasons. It's Hogan Andre, WrestleMania 3. And it's not the best match on the card. It's probably not even the third or fourth best match on the card, to be honest with you. But for what it did, for how it was built up, for all the fallout, for what everybody's memory is, Gorilla Monsoon, the roof of the Silver Dome about to explode here. It's, I don't care. The pageantry, it's number five. And amazing, Bobby the Brain Heenan, who was raised by his mother and had to quit school. I want to know if he ever later in life realized how big that moment was, where he comes from those beginnings and is now with 90-something thousand people there with one of the biggest stars in history, one of the biggest entertainment stars in history, riding to the ring at WrestleMania 3. Number four, you mentioned it, Hardy Boys Dudley's Edge and Christian X7. Number
I actually
three,
didn't mention that. That was on my list.
Oh, I thought you mentioned, I thought I wrote that down. Okay, sorry.
I did the ladder match at 10.
Oh, okay.
Michaels and
Dudley's.
Ramon.
All right, then I got Hardy Boys Dudley's Edge Christian X7. Number three, I'm going to put Stone Cold Bret Hart WrestleMania 13. Number two, I'm putting Shawn Michaels and Undertaker WrestleMania 25. I almost put that number three. I put it number two. I love that match. Even the cameraman who nearly killed the Undertaker, almost put him in a wheelchair. I still say that that's number two. Number one, Steamboat Macho Man. Steamboat Macho Man. Jesse, Gorilla, they part Megan. Bombs away! I just love Macho Man. The athleticism, the wrestling, the whole the storytelling that what it was. You mentioned the near falls. It was one of the best things I've ever seen in my life. That is number one. Pierno, I love you. Thank you very
love
much.
Love you too.
It's great stuff. Coming up at 12:40 p.m. Eastern, Jason Cole. We'll talk NFL with him. Up next, Vic Joseph. WWE commentator, we're getting you ready for WrestleMania! Next on CBS Sports Ready.
Listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.